I'm a little surprised to see there was there the same thing. There was a little waves, and then the same thing. It just kind of has fallen off the mainstream channels and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of fallen a little bit off the mainstream, but Nick Aldis is the champion as the time of this recording. Nick has been doing really good work in some of the smaller promotions. He's been basically going all over the world, wrestled with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood against Colt Cabana in China. The first professional wrestling match that was ever broadcast from China was Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, of no doubt. And then he's also going to be part of All In. Cody talked to Nick Aldis saying that, yeah, while I'm out here beating people like Dalton Castle and wrestling against people like the Briscoes, you're wrestling a 53-year-old gym teacher. And boy, what the crowd went crazy on
Oh.
that. Yeah.
Well, not
It was
Tim
fun.
Storm. He is. That is a cool story. You
Yes, it
know?
is.
Did you watch any of those? It was like a. They did some. I guess mini documentaries. They were like 20 minutes long on him and how he's a school teacher and he was carrying that belt through the airport and you know. What a neat story. I mean, the guy's a full-time school teacher, and he, I don't know, I just thought that was such a cool story.
Some of these guys, you know, they're not going to ever make it up to the WWE. Although I think Tim could go right into WWE right now and do just great at the age of 53. But, you know, Vince is not going to hire him to do anything. Then you've got some of the other guys, some of the smaller promotions. They travel all over the country every weekend. We just had the MK Bandit on with us. He's an up-and-comer. You got Marty the Moth Martinez. He goes to he's down in Mexico. He's in LA. He's in Colorado. He wrestles in Utah. He's all over the place trying to make it into the professional wrestling business. I think it's a great storyline to see these people that have that passion for performing and for professional wrestling, and they do it for more than just making the big bucks. But if they can make a few bucks at it, more power to them, right?
I felt kind of dumb because when the MK Bandit was on here the other day, you know, like that's like a big name for our little podcast.
Yeah.
And I kind of find myself getting tripped up in some questions and things, but I think it was because I'm coming up with excuses now, Dave. I was really enthralled by hearing what he was saying, like he's been involved with UCW Zero and he goes to House of Hardcore and Tommy Dreamer's like, okay, dude, you're gonna friggin' get kicked in the gut by this dude, and you're gonna, you know, and he took it like a man, and all that. You know, wait on your stripes, kid. You
Yeah,
know,
that's what Bully Ray said to him,
and
right?
that is so cool that he has taken that, and he's so passionate about professional wrestling. If I can even make my mark on one little show, that's, you know, just awesome. And I think that's, I was so enthralled by him saying that I couldn't think straight.
I think from what you and I have found through our interviews with some of the performers, getting to meet some of the performers when we got to meet Rey Mysterio, Juice talking about meeting the Big Show, that most of these performers, they do it for the love of performing. Again, by the way, when we were talking about the NWA title and Tim Storm, you can subscribe on YouTube. There is a channel called 10 Pounds of Gold. And the 10 Pounds of Gold is ran by the NWA, Billy Corgan's company. And they do interviews, they do all kinds of different vignettes with some of the performers. They talk to Nick Aldis, they talk to Tim, they talk to Cody and more.
Did you see that the band is getting back together?
Mean the Shield?
No,
The
dude. The
band?
original.
Not the band.
The Outsiders
Yeah.
and Hollywood Hulk Hogan, brother. It was announced, I think, yesterday. They're doing a special Hogan's Beach Shop.
By the way,
Yeah, you
thanks
did
once
it.
again.
Yeah.
And I'm Ajay Salveson. Hey, I remember, what was it, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I joined you as a guest host on Turnbuckle Trash. I was just a guest, a sitting guy because Tom Sherlock was gone and needed someone to fill in. And I jumped in and I was excited. I was pumped up. And then Tom moved on and you asked me to take his spot and I was more than happy to do so. And now I've found myself 3.5, 4 years later where I've been your regular co-host. And it has been a freaking blast.
Thank you.
This show in studio, and Zane was right there, and me and Shane were sharing this freaking mic, and Zane was hilarious. Zane was just, the jokes were racking up like crazy.
And I remember we hit it off pretty
really easily.
Pretty good. We found a lot in common. And again, same thing. I had actually never met you before, and I said I knew Dave. I knew who he was, and I ran into him at the comic book store, and he said, "Well, if we ever, have time, we'll get you on the show or this or that." And I was like, "Oh, that'd be fun." And I remember was it WrestleMania 30 or was it 29? Which one was it? And it was 30, was it 30? And you invited me on as a guest commentator. And that's where we met, Juice.
Yeah, no, that was and I remember you guys almost kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, that stupid thing. So, a lot of great memories. The butt fumbles we've had are just awesome. In fact, that's how long we've been doing this. The butt fumble came up in 2012 with Mark Sanchez running into his offensive lineman's butt, fumbling the ball and having it return for a touchdown. So we've been together. This has been longer than 4 years. Holy crap, this has been like six maybe then. Yeah, we've been there for a while. So in saying that, it has been a joy and a pleasure and a blast, but I am here to announce that I am no longer going to be hosting Turnbuckle Trash. I'm hosting a radio show on the Full Court Press, KVN UAM, and here in Logan, Utah, and I also help out with Utah State Aggie Football Radio. That along with being a baseball coach and trying to enjoy somewhat of a personal life if I ever have one, with my beautiful wife of 3 years. It's time to say goodbye and to go on with my personal endeavors. But I've always been a wrestling fan, will be a wrestling fan, and forever and eternity be a Turnbuckle Trash fan, Dave. It's been a blast.
I hope that you'll join us if you ever find time, and we could do a three-way Skype or anything like that, or have you on as a guest. I hope you would never be opposed to that.
We'll see. I mean, let's not push it.
Oh, come on.
Okay, let's not push it. No, and you know what? I feel like I'm the Undertaker. I'm hanging out at home, and then, like, you're going to be Triple H and call me, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm hanging out at home, like, relaxing.
Yeah, dude, you want to come to a pod?
No. No. Yes, I'll be right over. Wow.
But everybody wants you to come back for a minute.
Dave, any thoughts?
We've been friends for several years, and I wish you the best, but you know I've got to do it one more time. I've got to play the story of Ajay meeting the Big Show. I'm going to place it right here. If you've never heard this, Ajay, once again, you stand how tall now?
5'2".
5'2", gets to meet the Big Show in Salt Lake City. It is absolutely hilarious, wouldn't you say, Zane?
I remember when he was telling us about that.
It was just so funny.
You know, and I was pretty jealous. I was like, "Oh man, that's so freaking cool! He met the Big Show. Like, that's awesome."
Well, we're gonna throw that in here because hey, that's just the kind of guys we are. We like to embarrass people, but no, Ajay. Once again, thank you for being my friend, and thanks for being part of Turnbuckle Trash. You know, you are welcome. Anytime. We want to hear from you again, okay?
Hey, well, thank you. And you know what the big question now is going to be? Is who's your new co-host going to be along with Zane Peterson?
It's going to be like, who's going to fill these shoes?
Oh my gosh, you just ruined the whole entire moment with those words.
I filled my shoes one time after drinking about 15 Dr. Pepper.
Oh my hell. Well, what the hell is your guys' problem?
Just there will be no way we can ever possibly find another co-host. We'll just have to find a co-co-host.
No, but and again, a big thanks to you and to Zane and to Chris Evans, who has been absolutely terrific. All you listeners, you have been fantastic. I mean, awesome with your input, your daily insight, your Facebook posts. And to say so long, here is my greatest WWE story ever.
But let's talk about some. Let's talk about some professional wrestling, because you actually were at the Energy Solutions Arena doing your job where you work for a radio station in Salt Lake City. You were doing your job there, and there was a wrestling event, and you actually got to meet some of the guys from the WWE, right?
Talk about the WWE gods looking out for me. So I was supposed to do a game that night, and yeah, it was a home game that night, and then it rained. It poured that night, absolutely poured. But instead of like calling, and the game was on TV that night too. So instead of like postponing the game, they waited like an hour and a half to see if this was going to work, if the rain would stop. So they waited for an hour and 53 minutes. So about 9 o'clock, they finally called it. And I had actually been in and out of the, you know, from the studio, and I would go and sit in the arena and watch the matches happen. The crowd was great there, by the way. So anyways, they cancel our game. We call it. And so I play stupid. Now we have a clock out station on the main entrance floor that we can clock out. And that would have been the easiest for me to go do, to clock out and go walk to the lot. Instead, I play stupid and I take the elevator all the way to the basement floor to where the WWE superstars are walking back. And I knew fully well what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
So I pretend like I'm lost. And I'm like, oh, Miss Security Guard, hey, I go clock out over here, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, just go down this hallway this way. I played stupid the whole time, knowing full well what I was doing. So I walk across. I get freaking startled because out walks Sheamus just right across from me, the shark.
Oh.
And it really was like a shark because he startled the crap out of me. I stop, and I kind of look at him. He doesn't even skip a step. He kind of looks at me and goes, in his accent, what's up, bro? And I was like, Sheamus? Looking good, man. Looking really good. He is a creepy guy up close and personal in that, and just like, his underwear and boots, and he's tall. The mohawk scared me to death.
Let me just say this: you are of the country of India, right? The scent.
Yeah.
I don't. India, Pakistan. Anyway, you have a dark skin.
Yeah.
And Sheamus is the human jar of mayonnaise.
Oh man, yeah. Put it together. It's night and day. Literally, night and day.
That's unreal. So.
I walk across to him. I get startled. Nearly crap my pants. Go change my diaper and then go back out. And I start walking across the hallway and I look up. I was looking down the ground. I look up and there's this big 7'2" guy there slowly, and I mean slowly, walking. The key is when you're walking around these kind of places with these kind of people, you have to pretend like you belong there.
Right.
You have to pretend like you actually are supposed to be there. Because if you're not, people are going to get creeped out, suspicious, and a little scared of you, and they might even kick you out. So right. I was like, hey, what's up, Big Show? And he kind of scared me because he stops, and I mean, it took him for like, it seemed like eternity to turn around. And I keep walking towards him, and I was like, hey, listen, you're a great man in the ring, but you're a better man outside of the ring, and I want you to know that. And he puts his freaking Godzilla-sized paw on my left shoulder, and looks at me and he goes, he kind of laughs and says, thanks. And I'm like, you doing all right? And he's like, I'm just a little sore.
Oh.
And then as I'm walking back the other way, because again, I'm pretending like I'm lost, but I turn around, go back the other way, and I see a man on his phone. And I was like, Artruth, what's up, man? He turns around and goes, hey, what's up, brother? And I was like, we start talking for just a little bit. I was like, how are you doing? He's like, good. I'm like, are you feeling all right? And he goes, a little sore, but I'm fine. So I said, hey, you guys are probably flying out tonight. Where are you headed to? He goes, Pensacola, Florida.
Whoa.
So they're in Utah tonight. And that same night, they're traveling to Pensacola, Florida.
Whoa.
And I was like, man, how do you guys do it? I mean, really? And he stops and he kind of looks at me. I'm like, how do you guys do it? And he says, it's just part of the grind, man. It's just part of the grind. I said, well, thank you for doing it for us, because I know you probably don't get much appreciation. And I was like, I don't want any autographs, because I think he was kind of thinking, like, all right, let me sign. He's like, I'm like, I don't want any autographs. I just want to tell you thank you for what you do for the millions and millions of people who get to have the pleasure and watch you guys do what you do. And he said, that's probably the best compliment I could ever ask for. And he shook my hand and put his hand on my shoulder and said, I appreciate you a lot. And they fly, and I walked away. And about 5 feet later, I look over, and I'm like, Dog Zizzler, good to see you, bro. And I just keep walking. He kind of looks at me and goes, yeah.
Yeah.
You too, bro. As I walked by, I saw Kane laying on the ground getting stretched out. I mean, this is after a match, too. And he's getting stretched out, and you're trying to figure out where he's in pain and such. these guys, I mean, for the WWE universe and for the Turnbuckle Trash fans and whoever else is listening to this, understand what these guys put themselves on the line. And walking down there, seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff with the writers and the wrestlers themselves, these guys go through a lot of work, and I don't think they get enough appreciation. But in the end, they, you know, I don't think they really do hear the fans say thank you for what you guys do. And so from me to them and from all of us here on behalf of Turnbuckle Trash, the co-host Dave Zane and I and the rest of the listeners, you WWE wrestlers, thank you for what you guys do.
Just got one question for you.
Shoot.
Now, we've already talked about you being of Indian descent.
Yeah.
And you're not a tall man. Well, how tall are you?
5'2".
5'2". Big Show, 7'2". Did you come up to his hips?
No, I came up to his thigh, and I'm not even kidding you. I'm not even kidding you.
Oh, wow.
That's not an exaggeration. That's not a lie. I came, I think, to the edge of his thigh, just below his hip. Because I looked up. I mean, imagine us two standing towards you and facing you. I went up to barely just below his hip.
Wow.
So, and I mean, I mean, really, and he's huge. I mean, he put his hand, his right hand on my shoulder, and it covered my shoulder. His fingers went down to almost where my pec is.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
He's huge. Great man. Really generous wrestlers to say hi to me. No, it was great. It was fun. It was awesome. It was really cool to be down there and kind of see riders talking to wrestlers and kind of see how they interact with each other.
That's the month of August. We still have September to go on part three of this edition of the Best of 2018 Turnbuckle Trash. Coming up, Hell in a Cell, the aftermath of All In, and it's all next on Turnbuckle Trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
You know that there's actually been different Hell in a Cells over the years. Like, the one that Mankind got chokeslammed through was a shorter one. This is the first time the Hell in a Cell has been a red. Well,
do you think that the... that would cause a problem seeing it inside the arena?
When Dolph and them were climbing up, did you notice the little holes cut in the cell for footholds and stuff?
I certainly did. It was more noticeable with that red cell.
It was. But yeah, I saw a thing that said that the one that Mankind got chokeslammed through and stuff was shorter. And then the one that Shawn Michaels and Undertaker fought in, some of the moves, like suplexes and stuff, Shawn Michaels' feet actually touched the top of the cell.
And that came into play a little bit during the first Hell in a Cell match with...
Let's talk about that for a minute. Did that match just kind of scream a little bit of a hint of Attitude Era to you?
Oh, man. I loved that match. And... it was the match of the night for me. It opened up the event, and I thought it was
fantastic.
When
he stuck that screwdriver in his ear, I'm sure you've had your earlobes pinched before, like, you know, like when you were a kid or something, your mom grabbed your earlobe. It hurts like hell. I couldn't imagine having a screwdriver shoved in your earlobe and turned three or four times.
And then seeing the welts on Randy Orton's back after the beating with the belt.
Yeah, dude.
And that cut he had on his leg.
He had something sticking out of his leg.
Yeah, right. It was a table shot, and then I think one of the wooden pieces broke off and went into his leg.
He was eating like a stuck pig for a minute.
Randy kept on looking at it the rest of the match. He was constantly looking at that cut on his leg.
Yeah, that was good. That was so. In a match like that, is that something that creative goes, all right, you guys, you know, we're going to have blood, we're going to have this, or you're going to have this. You know, at this point in the match, you got to stuff the screwdriver in his ear. Or
I think the screwdriver spot was a called spot.
Yeah.
I really do. As far as the welts on the back, that's just something I think that happened. I think they were calling it, but they weren't expecting to bleed like that. Yeah. And then you have the accident with the table. I mean, that was nothing they could really handle. But I do believe that Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch.
Dude. Oh, man.
It was a good one, wasn't it?
Dude, is Becky Lynch just awesome right now, or is she just awesome? The Divas era is done, man. And those women's matches are rock solid now.
But, you know, they still are beautiful women.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Becky came out and she had on that dark wig when she was in the stands, that's the thing that I like about this era of women's wrestling. They're still very feminine, but they're still going to take your head off. Mm-hmm. And I like that aspect of it. I really do.
The days of the whole Divas thing and stuff, that was just...
Oh, the pillowcase matches and the lingerie matches. Yeah, I never liked that very much. I'm a red-blooded American male, if you know what I mean, but I wasn't. By the way, the new champion is Becky Lynch, and Charlotte would not. Charlotte was trying to shake her hand and saying congratulations, and Becky wouldn't hear of it. It's great storytelling. And if you were upset at somebody because of something they did to you and you beat them, you're not going to want to shake their hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was just like when... You know, Sting and Triple H, you know, and he's like, hey, get back here, you know, and then you shake hands and it's like, oh, come on. Sting should have knocked him in the gut with a baseball bat and friggin'.
It's like, no. Did you notice the promo for the new Marine 6 movie is out now? Yeah, it's The Miz with Becky Lynch and Shawn Michaels, number 943,000. 423.
What does it matter what number's in it? It's got the greatest superstar in Hollywood history in it.
Because he's awesome. Yeah. And he is, isn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Tag match, The Shield versus McIntyre and Ziggler for the...
Yes. What?
Once again, non-stop action. I don't think they ever stopped in the match for a rest hold. I really don't. It was awesome.
I love Dolph Ziggler, and the Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre thing is freaking great right now, isn't it? Okay, let's stop for a second. It's time for a side street, okay? Let's discuss Dean Ambrose's return for a moment. What are your thoughts? Okay.
Heel turn is coming soon. Heel turn is coming soon.
So, Dave, do you think a heel turn is coming soon?
Reason I do. I really do think they're going to turn him heel.
So two things. Let me interrupt you. Sorry. I just got to get this out. You know how I get.
You don't interrupt me again. I'll take you down.
Okay. One thing. What are your thoughts on Dean Ambrose's physique?
Well, for somebody who's coming off an injury, he's been pumping some
iron.
He has
the protein on, and I can't decide if I don't know if I like it very much. I like the lunatic fringe, man.
On Raw, they did a little spot where supposedly the Shield was being arrested. Mm-hmm. And right at the very end with the sheriff there that made the Shield get that rematch with Dolph and with McIntyre, you could see Dean say, so, Sheriff, the next time I get arrested, can I call you? I like that. That was kind of more of the old wacky
Sheriff, what the name tag said on the sheriff? It was Dean Ambrose's dad.
It was? Awesome. I didn't notice that. That's awesome. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it was Dean Ambrose's dad in real life. Dolph Ziggler, he's just so good. Seth Rollins is pretty good too, but every time he does that damn buckle bomb, it just makes me cringe.
There was only one time during the entire match that Seth Rollins' knee was mentioned, and I thought that was fantastic. I'm so tired of hearing Michael Cole, that's his bad knee, that's his bad knee.
I'm just tired of Michael Cole, plain and simple.
About a slobber knocker of a match, the very next one. Oh, wasn't that a great physical, psychological match, Joe and AJ Styles?
Oh, dude, and that ending, oh my gosh. Well, that was awesome. That's like, that goes back to The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. You know, remember when Undertaker tapped but yet pinned Brock, you know? And man, this is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, with Samoa Joe actually having that Kimura lock on and then AJ's tapping out but Joe's shoulders are down.
What a
great ending to a wrestling match. Chris was a little bit upset with it, I think, because he wanted a clean ending. But I said, man, that's what wrestling's about, the controversy. We love that.
And then you know, because now he gets to use the whole, you know, Samoa Joe gets screwed out of the title. And for a big guy, holy crap.
The man can move, can't he?
Do you know who I want to see go at it? It's Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. Both big like that. They both can move. Man, those two, I'll bet, could bring the house down on something.
You know? But who's going to be the heel? Who's going to be the bad guy?
Well, why can't one be bad and one be badder? Honestly, Dave, like, I think like something like this was better than WrestleMania. I could watch this pay-per-view again and not feel slightest about it, but I don't think I'd go back and watch WrestleMania again.
You don't want to get these hands with that little 10-year-old brat? I mean, that little boy?
No. The Miz and Maryse versus Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say it, Dave. I just got to come right out and say it, okay? But I freaking hate the Bellas.
Don't offend me, man.
I hate the Bellas, dude. They're such – they don't know how to wrestle. I thought we'd see more Maryse and Brie going at it because, I mean, Maryse is a former Divas champion. But I wonder if they won't let her – why did they even have this match if she couldn't even have one spot in the ring? Every time she'd get into the ring, she'd
– I think it was part of the storytelling. But Maryse could go when she was wrestling. She, you know, she did fairly well. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching
her. Well, she's two-time Divas champion. For the freaking feud of the year, this has fallen a little bit flat, in my opinion. You know.
Well, yeah, I know why they did it. I mean, they were trying to set up the two reality shows against each other.
Yeah.
And frankly, the Miz and Maryse, the Miz and Mrs. on USA was so much better than the stuff that's on with the Bellas and the Total Divas and the Total Bellas.
Have you watched Miz and Mrs.?
I watched three of the six episodes.
What
they're still available
what
on.
What is it like?
Funny.
Is it really?
It is funny. But they're getting ready to move out of Hollywood, moving to Texas. And his wife wants this very expensive cake. And evidently the Miz watches every penny that goes through his wallet.
Really?
And he went with a less expensive cake, but he was going to have it delivered. But his dad comes in, and the dad says, "How much are they going to charge you to deliver this cake?" And he told him, he said, "Let's get it ourselves." And then they wreck the cake, and Miz has to go back and buy like an $8,000 cake.
Crap.
It was pretty funny. There wasn't any of that fake drama like they have on Total Divas, and also with the Bella twins not getting along. And I thought where the Total Divas and Total Bellas got where it was good was when they went backstage at the events and they showed how things happened backstage, not when they were out and about acting like
mispresses and stuff.
Idiots, you know? Yeah.
Dude, okay.
But I will say this. I will say that the Daniel Bryan and Brie was better than John Cena and Nikki against the Miz and Maryse. That was pathetic two years ago.
So I'm on this CBS Sports website, right? And they're grading each match as we go down. And so far they've been fairly close to what you and I have discussed. But this next match, they have got completely wrong. They rated the next match as an A-, and I thought this was a stupid match. And I'm Raw Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss.
It was better than I expected just because of Alexa Bliss, not Ronda Rousey.
It was like Seth Rollins' knee all over again. But Ronda Rousey's ribs! Oh, there's the ribs! Oh, can she even...
Oh, the ribs!
How did she pull that gut-wrench suplex off with those ribs? You know, it's just like... You know,
agreed.
It's like, shut up.
But you got to admit, when she comes out, that crowd goes bananas.
Yeah, and I don't... She does, and...
I don't know what it is. I'm not a fan yet. But Alexa Bliss made that match to me, not Ronda. And I read Jim Ross actually say this right after the Hell in a Cell, that Alexa Bliss is the best female heel that they have had in years, that she understands the heel dynamic. She knows how to get a pop from the crowd as a heel. And I agree with good old JR on that one.
She reminds me of like a female Jake the Snake.
that yeah. ring psychology, the twisted, the look in her eyes of this tell that she's really serious about what's going on, you know? You know, because Alexa Bliss can actually go, you know, in the ring. She can go. She does good.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all the females right now, I mean.
There are two notes from that that match I wanted to. And Alexa Bliss evidently did suffer some sort of arm injury in that match. And Tuesday, they were worried about possible nerve damage.
So, I mean, so what are your, I mean, so CBS Sports gives it an A-. I would give it about a C-.
I'd say a C to C+ at the most. I think they're, you know, they're probably basing that a lot on trying, because of the crowd reaction to Ronda Rousey.
So, last but not least, main event, Hell in a Cell, Braun versus Roman.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I thought they drug it out for way too long.
But I did like it when Braun yelled out in the middle of the Hell in a Cell match. He says, stay down, you moron.
Yeah. There was some cool spots in it. And there was some spots that were kind of like when Roman Reigns goes running around the ring, you know, and he just runs right smack into the for a little sprint real quick and then wham, you know.
Wasn't that the one where he, where Braun picked up those stairs and just clocked him?
It's like, oh, hold on, guys. I got to get my laps in real quick.
Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
This is like, then they're like,
stay down, you moron.
One of the announcements is like, oh, Roman's got diamond plate imprints on his head now or something like that. Like, yes, yes, he
Loved
does.
It. On the. What did you think about the ending with the return of that guy? Be honest.
I mean, it was okay, I guess. I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, you know, you always – I'm glad they didn't announce it or that it was still kind of unexpected. I just still – I'm not a Brock fan. So there's no doubt in my mind that he'll win the title back and he'll be – they're gonna use that publicity thing to death, you know, of him being a UFC champion and a WWE champion, you know. So I got to tell you real quick while we're talking about UFC, when last time I was up in Cache Valley, a couple of my old friends from my old work at USU, they invited me over to one of the UFC fights. It was just a – and they were advertising for that Conor McGregor fight. It was the one where they like – he was dissing his buddies or whatever, and so they went and found the guy on the street, and they, like, broke the window in the bus. And, you know, when I worked at USU, they all used to make fun of me for being a professional wrestling fan. They were like, oh, MMA is where it's at, you know. And I says, you guys, I says, there's no difference. The only difference between MMA between UFC and WWE is a little bit more acrobats and some of the hits land. I was like, it's all storytelling, it's all hype, it's all, you know. And Vinny goes, when this commercial comes on between, you know, Conor McGregor and this other guy, he's like, I've come to the realization that you're right. He says, this is all, you know. I was like, I told you, dude, it's all about entertainment.
Let's give him a big nanny nanny boo boo. I mean,
yeah, it's like
we were right, you were wrong, we were right.
I don't know, dude. It's all about entertainment, man. Whether it's predetermined, whether the punches really land, whatever it is, you're being entertained. Same with boxing and all this crap, you know. Boxing, they get in each other's face at the weigh-in, and it's always about stirring the pot and getting the, you know, it's all the same.
One quick question.
Shoot.
You had a friend that was – you were posting some stuff on Facebook and also Instagram of pictures that he was taking in San Antonio that he worked the Hell in a Cell event.
Let's talk about – so my friend Bobby Tiemann is the video display engineer for AT&T Stadium in San Antonio, Texas. He called me a couple days before Hell in a Cell and said, hey, he's not a wrestling fan at all. He says, it's a WWE. It's called Hell in a Cell. I was like, what? He says, yeah. He says, I'll see if I can get you some pictures and stuff. So he took some pictures of the cell from up on the catwalk, and he took some pictures of the ring. And I'm working real hard to get the banner. He says there's like a 50-foot banner for Hell in a Cell. And I was like, I need it, dude. I have got to have that in my garage. So
can I just go up and touch it and roll in it?
So I've been working him pretty hard.
In my naked body all over it.
I've been working him hard for this.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The color of the cell. I mean, I think
that was weird.
That was kind of weird. I mean, does Stephanie McMahon have something with red? I mean, they have this obsession with red. The belt's got to be red. The ring's got to be red. Hey, let's make the cell red. Come on. Really?
Well, I was wondering if it was such a stark color being red that if the people there in the arena were having difficulty seeing inside the cell.
I think they would have had trouble seeing it because, I mean, in the regular Hell in the Cell, you could actually see what's going on in there, but I've never been to a match where they had something like that.
Let's talk about some of the highs and lows of Hell in the Cell.
Oh, there was a lot of high. There was the biggest high, I think, was the Jeff Hardy-Randy Orton match. That was the highest one that they had. I have one question for Randy Orton. Who gave you the screwdriver?
I don't know, but it hurt me just looking at it. And you could see where the skin was getting tighter and tighter, and you could hear the whole crowd going, ew.
But you had to know that skin had to give. It has to have some give to it. It would have been bad if he had turned it just a little bit more and that ear would have popped.
The overall effect, you got to admit, that was pretty daggum cool.
Yeah,
it was cringeworthy.
Cool. And then when you had, like, when you had posted on Facebook that wrestling is fake and you saw the injuries that Randy Orton received from Hell in a Cell, you got to give these boys credit. Yeah, wrestling is a work sometimes, but the injuries that Randy Orton received, because I couldn't do that. There's no way. These pay-per-views that they've been putting on lately, the ratings are just not there anymore, and everybody's getting tired of the same matches. And, I mean, we all knew what the Hell in the Cell was going to be until they had a couple of surprises in there. But to me, no, I
was just going to say, I think they paint themselves into a corner sometimes by having a basic monthly pay-per-view. They can't set up a really good feud angle line without doing basically the same matches over and over again. And then I'll tell you what just drives me up a wall is when I see a pay-per-view match and then they redo the match the next night on Raw or Tuesday night on SmackDown.
This is a rematch from Hell in a Cell. We're going to have it here tonight on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're so limited on their talent roster anymore, and everybody has seen everyone. And they need a surprise, somebody to come in that they would never expect. I mean, yeah, they had a couple of surprises in the Hell in the Cell, but who wants to see Brock Lesnar? Who wants to see that?
I'm tired of Brock Lesnar. You know, you might be on Brock Lesnar. And then he kicked the door down. It was another, come on, give me a break. And it wasn't breaking off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, I'm telling you.
You don't need to unwrap that anymore because we've already unwrapped it and threw it in the garbage three or four times. We don't want to see him anymore. What did Vince give him a pile of money to say, come on out here and kick the door for us real quick and make people go, ooh, if you kick a door, you know, we all know it's jury-rigged. No man can do that unless he pulled out his sword of power and said, by the power of Grayskull.
Let me ask you a question about that final match, okay?
Go ahead.
Here's the question about the final match. And they all climbed to the top of the cage. Now, they showed Seth and Dolph coming down the stage and then both synchronized jumping off the stage onto the table. I mean, that was a spot that falling on the tables from that height, yeah, it looked good, but both of them jumped like they looked at each other and said, okay, let's jump. But what happened to Dean and McIntyre at the top? How did they get down? When did they get down?
I think what they were trying to do was they're trying to relive the old day of when Mick Foley got thrown off the cage.
Yeah.
They really are. They're trying their best, but they'll never be able to top that because that was spontaneous. And I hear that Dolph Ziggler, when he went through the table, he got pretty messed up. It was boring to see them climb the cage and they're fighting on top of the cage, but they've got it reinforced.
You almost expect to see that now in a Hell in a Cell. But I sat there and watched all that. Then I watched the Brock Lesnar junk that came in. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm going, what happened with the guys up top? Those are the two I wanted to see fight. Those are the two I wanted to go at it.
Hell in the Cell, everybody, when the first Hell in the Cell ever happened, everybody was so excited about it. They loved it because nowadays, it's nothing. It's not that way anymore. They're so PG, they don't want to bring out the blood. They don't want to bring out the, like Mick Foley said, it's a match that will change careers. It's a match that will change your life. And it's a match that no one will ever forget. Yes, we did. We forgot it as soon as the pay-per-view was over. We forgot about it. And I'm wondering, I mean, do you all get together in a circle and say, how can we kick people off today? How can we do this? How can we make our fan base just run away? I got an idea. Let's all ever get on the top of the Cell, and that's it.
And, you know, frankly, I think they're just overextending themselves. They have the talent. They have the overabundance of talent. But I think the overabundance is making them kind of cringe and saying, well, we don't know what to do yet with the guys from the Authors of Pain. We don't know what to do yet with Sanity. I mean, coming up, that event in Australia that's coming up, what's it going to be? It's going to be the New Day, the champions, still the champs, and who are they going to take on? The Bar. You know, Sanity would put on a great match. It would be something different, but no, it's the Bar.
They're not pushing the talent that needs to be pushed. I mean, they push them off to the side. Let's just give you guys the tag team titles, or let's give these people the tag team titles. They won't give the people who deserve it, like Sanity. They deserve the tag team titles.
And heck, you know, you gotta give them credit. The New Day, they're such pros. They are so good at what they do. They could take any tag team and make it look good. I mean, any tag team.
I'm really hoping one day that they split up the New Day, which I know they're not going to do it because everyone loves the New Day. And that's their moneymaker right there. They know it is just a little bit. Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
I loved it.
You did? You liked it?
I thought.
That's good.
Because of the psychology of it, it was a thinking man physical match. I liked the ending, the swerve at the very end where the official didn't see AJ tapping out, and AJ's the... I enjoyed that. I think that's what wrestling should do more of. But
yes.
It's how it's worked, how it's written, and how it's performed that I thought... I still think that the Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, feud of this past few months, to me, is probably one of my favorites of 2018. You start watching that, and when you really get into it, you hate Samoa Joe. You just want him to get everything that's coming to him. And that is the psychology of a good professional wrestling match that makes it memorable.
I've enjoyed it because they brought in family. They brought in AJ's little girl into it. How they convinced AJ to let Samoa Joe do this is beyond me. But I've enjoyed that side of Samoa Joe because that reminds me of the old Samoa Joe from TNA, the I don't care attitude.
You were texting me today about Dominique, Rey Mysterio Jr.'s son, is starting to perform now in Canada.
Oh, yes.
If you think back, Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio Jr. had a really long feud involving the same Dominic, where Eddie wanted to be his daddy, and Rey was fighting for the honor of his son. Dominic is a big kid.
I mean, he's being trained by Lance Storm.
The Women's SmackDown Championship.
Becky Lynch winning the Women's Championship, and she is the perfect heel right now. I love it how they were... Charlotte Flair comes in the middle of the ring, goes to shake her hand, and she turns around and walks off.
I loved it.
That was perfect. It's almost like bringing out the old Stone Cold Steve Austin. Maybe they'll get a hold of Asuka, and maybe Asuka can finally win a title in the WWE. But Becky Lynch, congratulations. You won the women's title at the end of the match when she walked off. That was perfect. That's what needed to happen right there. No handshake.